some ruling power or as the impersonal Brahman can be reached by persons who are in inferior energy of the Lord. So this knowledge everyone has, that there is some power, so who is controlling everything. So even the tribals in the forest, so they also attribute that there is supreme power, but who is he? So that can be understood only when we read Bhagavad Gita. So here it is. But the personality of Godhead cannot be conceived unless one is in the transcendental position. So here actually the words of stress is that we can actually understand Krishna, who is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, simply by studying his words in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So both are told here. So in Bhagavad Gita we see Krishna in this sequence of verses he is telling about himself, especially in these verses. And in fourth chapter also he tells the science of his reincarnation. So he tells that how he comes by his own internal energy. He is transcendental. So he appears as a person and he tells to Arjuna Bhagavad Gita. So all of this we can understand. And again in Bhagavad, if you see in seventh chapter in the beginning, so second six chapters are especially very, very, what you call, confidential. So in the very beginning, Krishna is telling, Maya Sakta Manopartha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya Asam Shayam Samagram Mam. So he is telling, you can understand me in complete. So Yatha Jnasuti Tat Shrunu. So he is telling, hear from me. So Krishna himself is always telling, if you see in Bhagavad Gita, many times Krishna is using this phrase, Tat Shrunu, or hear me. So just by hearing from Krishna, we can understand about his energies, how they are acting. So we may just see so many things in the world, but we may not understand who is behind it. But the person, if Krishna is himself telling that I am the basis of everything, then we can understand. So Krishna, he tells after, in 7.7 again, Matha parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Mai sarvam idam protram sutre mani gana iva. So he is telling, no one is above me. And everything in this world is existing upon me actually. I am the basis. And Krishna goes on to tell everything, how his energies are acting. So he tells how this separated energies and which is the five material elements, then the living entities, so which are his superior energies. Then he explains how we can perceive them in this world, how we can see Krishna's presence, punyo gandha prithvim cha, how we can understand when we smell the earth, when it rains, that this fragrance is coming from Krishna. So I am the fragrance of the earth, Krishna tells, then I am the taste of water. So in different way, we can see how Krishna's energies are acting throughout the creation. So when we listen from Krishna. So another thing is, another benefit we can understand, like in the morning we were discussing that how Bhagavad Gita is a perfect theistic science. So theistic science means we understand who is God, what is material nature, what are the living entities, what is karma, reincarnation, everything perfectly. So unless and until we understand through Shastras, and especially through Bhagavad Gita, we can't understand how are we changing different bodies. So this science is very important. Generally, people sometimes they even think that we get only human forms. So in our, you know, if at all we have to take birth, but it is not so. So we may take any form or any body based on our conception. So in Bhagavad Gita especially, so Krishna says we are all struggling in this material world with body and senses. And then he tells, he explains science. How are we struggling? So we are experiencing different kinds of happiness and distress by being situated in different bodies. And he tells, this science is understood of one who is in knowledge. So Krishna tells, Jnana Chakshusha. So one cannot understand. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that this can be understood from Vedic scriptures by studying it from spiritual master. So especially you, living entity, because of being influenced by different modes, he takes higher and lower bodies. And then, but it doesn't understand, the living entity, how it is situated in one body, how it is changing different bodies. So, but when we see through the eyes of Bhagavad Gita, so, and again, when it is explained by spiritual master, Prabhupada very nicely he explained that how the living entity is changing different bodies. So, body is not changing, as Darwin says. So, the living entity, because it has different desires, based on the desires, it is accepting new body and it is changing like that. So, it is such a great science. So, only one has eyes can see this. So, 15.10 you all can open. The word Jnana Chakshusha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body is he going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. So basically the living entity thinks himself as the enjoyer. Even in 13th chapter, if we see in 22nd verse, so Krishna says that the living entity considers to him to be the enjoyer. And then he goes through different forms. The exact verse I'm not remembering. 13.22 Purusham prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan guna karanam guna sangasya sadasat yoni janmasu. So the basic understanding is Purusham prakriti stohi. So the living entity is not the enjoyer, but he thinks himself as the enjoyer. And when he comes in contact with material nature, So he bhunte prakriti jan guna. He wants to enjoy, he wants to lord over material nature. And thus he associates with different modes of material nature. So sometimes in human form, so he is very, he likes to enjoy if he exposes his body. So Miss World, Miss Universe. So means they basically are in the mode of passion. They want to enjoy. Then Krishna, he gives him. He tells them, okay, you all want to be naked? Take plant body like that. So based on different desires, they are different bodies which the material nature gives. So one who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. So the training is required. So it is not just reading also. So training. So this is the benefit of Bhagavad Gita. We can understand what body we'll get based on the activities we do in the present body. And also what is the importance of Bhagavad Gita? Yeah. The next importance is by following, we'll become free from the bondage of fruity work. So, Krishna in 3rd chapter, 31st verse, yeah, it comes in benefits. So, by following the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, what will happen? So, by following, we will become free from law of karma. Now, law of karma is a... it is a law, just like we have the state laws. And by doing, by behaving in a bad way, like by stealing or by doing some criminal activity, anyone would be punished. But laws of karma are very stringent. So, and basically again, so because of the desire to enjoy, so why the living entity is taking different bodies? Because he wants to enjoy. In this material world, basically everyone, he changes his body, even in this particular lifespan, if you see. So many times we desire something, and based on the desire we do activities. Like someone, if you see, they want to have very nice body, they go for gym. In sometimes we'll see in colleges people are interested. So even in this particular lifespan, if we desire, so we can change our body to certain extent. And thus, because the living entity has so many desires, he will be bound up to this material world. So fruitive activities basically bind us. So one will do activity, then he will get reactions. Then again he will be very tightly bound. So like that it continues and it will be very difficult. So law of karma, like the results are very old. So Prabhupada tells in Bhagavad Gita introduction. It means we are in this material world since time immemorial. So we are getting the reactions, and this is very difficult to come out from the cycle of birth and death. But by following the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, we can come out. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he tells, Yeme matam idam nityam. He tells basically, one who follows my instructions with faithfully and eternally, means every day it is, then what will happen? So with faith and without envy, then we will be free from fruitive activity. So Yeme matam idam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shraddhavanto nasuyanto muchyante tepi karmabihi. Shraddhavanto nasuyanto. With faith and without envying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So muchyante means we become free. So the translation is as follows. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. So Krishna, he is explaining or he is telling here the importance of following his instructions. So 3.31. Yeah, you all can see here in the purport, in the between, in the 8th line. But an ordinary man, with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of law of karma. So one has faith, so, and one tries to follow, even if we try to follow, so eventually we will be empowered to follow it. So this is the benefit of Bhagavad Gita. If we follow the instructions, we would be free from the bondage of law of karma. Then again, if we see, human form of life is important. So we have already discussed, and especially people, they try for different things, but rather going for different other activities, we can focus on hearing Bhagavad Gita. So human life is especially meant for self-realization. So generally, they think of many things. So they think themselves as advanced, modern, so in modern times. So they go to try to land on space. But space landing, Prabhupada said, it is waste of time. So because so much endeavor goes into that, so much time and energy. And even if you go there, we will just, what we will do? We will go and eat, sleep, do that much. And we have to again come back to the material, to this earth. So instead of doing that, if we try to faithfully understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, follow it, then we would be situated to the spiritual world. So this is another benefit. So introduction, you all can open. So the modern man, you can try to find this quote.
Tomorrow there will be no difficulty of finding like this. We'll give the anthology, of course, in your hand. You don't have to say.
Even I don't know where it is. Okay? The modern
towards
man.
The end, eh?
Yes, 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 that is what he is put up. Yes, yes. Yes. Modern man has struggled very hard to reach the moon, but he has not tried very hard to elevate himself spiritually. If one has 50 years of life ahead of him, he should engage that brief time in cultivating this process of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, one has to practice remembering Krishna. And this practice is devotional process. So one would be very proud of having, the, you know, even trying to go to other planets like moon. But it is just waste of time. So, because no matter where we go, so there would be there birth, old age, disease, death, we can't overcome. So, but hearing Bhagavad Gita will help. This practice is the devotional process. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. These nine processes, of which the easiest is Shravanam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the realized person, will turn one to the thought of the Supreme Being. This will lead to remembering the Supreme Lord and will enable one, upon leaving the body, to attain a spiritual body which is just fit for association with the Supreme Lord. So you will get eternal happiness. So why they want to go to moon? So because standard of living there is high, so there is life, long lifespan. But again, even that is temporary. So moon is also comes in the material sky. So another importance or benefit of reading Bhagavad Gita is by hearing Bhagavad Gita is by that we can attain pure love for Godhead. It is not just a becoming free from birth, old age, disease and death. That is not only getting liberation. So one can attain the goal of life, that is love of Godhead. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he has after describing his his pastimes, his activities, that how they are transcendental, he told, one who listens my activities, one who discusses janma karma cha me divyam, one who discusses and thus understands. So when we discuss Bhagavad Gita, we can understand about Krishna. Then tyaktva deham punarjainma naiti mameti so Arjuna. And then after that he told that vida raga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upashritaha bhava jnana tapasa puta mad bhavam agataha. So many of them so have become purified from fear, from attachment and krodha, anger. So they have become free and they have got bhava, mad bhavam agataha. They have been situated in spiritual planet and they are entered into activities in the spiritual world. So just by sadhana bhakti, that is the process of sadhana bhakti means cultivating the remembrance of Krishna. So there are many activities, of course, but hearing is the preliminary activity, or it is the most essential, activity, limb of devotional service. So when we hear from Bhagavad Gita, then we will attain prema bhakti. So in 12.9, so you all can open. In the fourth paragraph, so this basically tells about the sadhana bhakti, that how if one is not able to spontaneously remember Krishna, because the perfection of life is, the goal of Bhagavad Gita is to attain the condition where we can spontaneously remember, glorify Krishna. But if that we can't do, then Krishna tells, so do abhyasa, abhyasa yoga, that is sadhana bhakti. And for that, so here Prabhupada is telling in the purport different limbs of sadhana bhakti. So we'll read in the fourth paragraph. To practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, one should, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, follow certain principles. One should rise early in the morning, take bath, enter the temple, and offer prayers and chant Hare Krishna, and collect flowers to offer to the deity, cook foodstuffs to offer to the deity, take prasadam, and so on. There are various rules and regulations which one should follow, and one should constantly hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees. This practice will help anyone rise to the level of love of Godhead, and then he is sure of his progress into the spiritual kingdom of God. So just by reading, by hearing Bhagavad Gita every day on daily basis, so we would be elevated to the state of constantly remembering Krishna. So this is prayojana, this is goal of reading Bhagavad Gita. So this comes in benefits, these all the quotes we discussed now. And then the next subtopic is refuting the misconceptions of Bhagavad Gita. So in this, we will basically, people have many misconceptions about Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes they say if you keep a photo of Mahabharata war in your home, there will be fight, there will be quarrel. But this is not correct, because Sanjaya, when he concludes, so he says, before that there are many other misconceptions. So they say it was conversation between two people on the battlefield, and they also go on to say that Krishna was immoral actually. So because he was asking Arjuna to fight, so he was inducing him to fight. So they have this misconception. But we see that Krishna is not just inducing him to fight based on immoral principles. If we analyze Kauravas, their activities, how they were actually fit for being killed. So Krishna will never fit give some injunction which is against religious principles. So he is father of dharma. He knows dharma. So indeed, morality. What is the reference of morality? So morality comes from shastra. So like if you see in different states also, you have laws made by this state. But state laws are not perfect because they have limitations. So, but shastras, they are perfect. And when shastrical laws are followed, and then those injunctions only will help us what is right and what is wrong. So basically, Veda tells what is dharma. So dharma, everything in dharma, everything comes: morality, truthfulness, cleanliness, austerity, and ultimately worship of Krishna. So that is the highest form of morality. So just by worshipping Krishna, we will get all the byproducts just by surrendering our lives to Krishna. So we can see ourselves, for example, what were we before and what are we now. So where the principles of Bhagavad Gita are followed, so where instructions of Bhagavad Gita are heard, so there cannot be any immorality. So Sanjaya, he narrated the whole scene on the battlefield in front of Dhritarashtra. So he has gone into total what all is happening on the battlefield. So what is his opinion? So he is telling that where there is Krishna and where there is Arjuna, there cannot be immorality. So when in human life, in normal dealings, they talk about morality, they talk only in terms of truthfulness basically. And but what is, why are you saying truth? What is the basis of that truth? So that no one is concerned. So but the highest teachings in morality are to surrender to Krishna. So he is the father of religion. So Krishna, he has given all the Vedas. So he knows what is right and what is wrong. And like this, Bhagavad Gita, it is a highest process or highest process to become a moralist. Highest transcendental moralist actually. So you all can open 18.78 last verse. So Sanjaya, it is his opinion or it is his word. So he is telling, wherever Krishna is there, and yatra yogeshwara Krishna yatra partho dhanurdhara tatra shri vijayo bhutir dhruva nitir matir mama. So people basically, they don't know what is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. That is the point. So they don't know what are the instructions given in Bhagavad Gita. So if you see Arjuna also, he is talking, so based on dharma, so I will not kill, I will be implicated by sin. So he is quoting from authority, I have heard in parampara. Like that he is quoting. And Krishna, he is very nicely refuting his words at different stages. So it is a dharma grantha. But people basically, they just understand that it was a battlefield and Arjuna was induced to fight by Krishna. So in the third paragraph, there are many less intelligent persons who take Bhagavad Gita to be a discussion of topics between two friends on a battlefield, but such a book cannot be a scripture. So even it is a conversation, but till Arjuna was speaking friendly, so Krishna didn't begin instructing Arjuna. So when he took the role of spiritual master, he started telling. But such a book cannot be a scripture. Some may protest that Krishna incited Arjuna to fight, which is immoral, but the reality of the situation is clearly stated. Bhagavad Gita is the supreme instruction in morality. The supreme instruction in morality is stated in the 9th chapter, in the 34th verse. Manmana abhavamad bhaktaha. One must become a devotee of Krishna. And the essence of all religion is to surrender unto Krishna. Sarva dharman pratyajya mamekam sharanam raja. The instructions of Bhagavad Gita constitute the supreme process of religion and of morality. All other processes may be purifying and may lead to this process, but the last instruction of the Bhagavad Gita is the last word in all morality and religion. Surrender unto Krishna. This is the verdict of the 18th chapter. So we see, devotees are above Brahmanas. So Brahmanas have this quality of truthfulness, austerity. So Vaishnava, he is the real Brahmana. So all moral principles would be there. So when devotees, they don't break four regulative principles. So but outside people, they do all nonsense and then they want to say that, no? So Bhagavad Gita, by reading Bhagavad Gita, so it is a, no? It is actually like so many things which we discussed. And then history of Bhagavad Gita. This is the fourth chapter, third sub point in importance of Bhagavad Gita. So if we see the history of different literatures like Bible, Quran, they have some beginning in the annals of history of the world. But Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself, he tells of its history. So we know Krishna spoke it 5000 years ago on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And again, he, in the fourth chapter, he is explaining how he explained this knowledge to Vivasvan. Idam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavam Aham Avyayam. So he gave this knowledge to Vivasvan, Sun God Vivasvan, in Treta Yuga. But again it is Avyayam. This is eternal. So but at least in this earth we can see how long it was there. We can try to see the history. So the Bhagavad Gita, if you see, it is present since such a long time. Even 5000 years is not a small time. So even if we consider, if it is just 5000 years old or 5000 years old, then it is a great thing. And it doesn't change. It is timeless. So even after 5000 years, we can apply it in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, and we can understand our situation in this material world by studying it, and we can become free. Such is the wisdom. So it is not affected by the passage of time. And again, if we go beyond that, so in Treta Yuga, so this knowledge was got by Manu from Evam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manu Rikshvakave Bravit. So Krishna gave this knowledge to Vivasvan, the sun god, and then Vivasvan himself gave it to Manu, and Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. Like this knowledge is coming down. So if we see, in the beginning of Treta Yuga, this knowledge was given. So now if we calculate, now 5000 years are over, and then before this Dwapar Yuga, so it consists of 864,000. So if we take approximate 8 lakh, then 8 lakh 5000, then Treta Yuga is 12 lakh years, then 12 plus 8 plus 5000 means 20 lakh years. So like this, since 2 million years, Bhagavad Gita is existing in humanity. So this is the age of Bhagavad Gita. So in spite of so being so old also, it is still fresh. So by this is also comes under importance, because we can understand it is not something limited by boundary. It is not limited by time. So it is eternal. In fact, Krishna tells it is avyayam. So this eternal science of the relationship of living entity with me is told by me, he tells. So avyaya means it is eternal. So we know Krishna is eternal, so his words are eternal. But still, if we analyze it historically, then we can see it is such an old literature. So you all can open 4.1. Herein we find the history of the Bhagavad Gita traced from a remote time when it was delivered to the royal order of all planets, beginning from the sun planet. So you all can come to the next page. In the Mahabharata Shanti Parva, we can trace out the history of the Gita as follows. So in the Mahabharata, it's told in the Shanti Parva. Treta yugado chatato vivasvan manave tado manuscha loka bhrityartham suta yeshva kave dado ikshvakuna chakatito vyapya lokanavastitaha. In the beginning of the millennium known as Treta Yuga, this science of the relationship with the Supreme was delivered by Vivasvan to Manu. Manu, being the father of mankind, gave it to his son Maharaj Ikshvaku, the king of this planet and the forefather of the Rahu dynasty in which Lord Ramachandra appeared. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita existing in human society from the time of Maharaj Ikshvaku. At the present moment, we have just passed through 5,000 years of the Kali Yuga, which lasts 4,32,000 years. Before this, there was Dwapar Yuga, 8 lakh years, and before that, there was Treta Yuga, 12 lakh years. Thus, some 2,005,000 years ago, Manu spoke the Bhagavad Gita to his disciple and son Maharaj Ikshvaku, the king of this planet Earth. So again, if we see, so at least for 2,000,000 years, it existing on the planet Earth. The age of the current Manu is calculated to last some 3,053 lakh years, of which
this is 71 into 43 lakh 20,000 years.
Of which 1204 lakh years have been passed. Excepting that before the birth of Manu, the Gita was spoken by the Lord to his disciple, the sun god Vivasvan. So naturally, so before Manu appeared, it was spoken. A rough estimate.
It
was spoken before that, no? Vivasvan.
Means he gave it to Ikshvaku in the beginning of, because Ikshvaku was born in the beginning of Treta Yuga.
It was told in Treta to Manu.
He was before Treta Yuga. But it was told to Ikshvaku in the beginning of Treta Yuga. Therefore, it is existing in human society from Treta Yuga. That means at least 20 lakh years, approximately, proper views.
Excepting that before the birth of Manu, the Gita was spoken by the Lord to his disciple, the sun god Vivasvan. A rough estimate is that the Gita was spoken at least 104,000 lakh years ago, and in human society it has been extant for 2 million years. It was re-spoken by the Lord again to Arjuna about 5,000 years ago. That is a rough estimate of the history of the Gita. According to the Gita itself and according to the version of the speaker, Lord Shri Krishna, it was spoken to the sun god Yuvasvan because he is also a Kshatriya and is the father of all Kshatriyas who are descendants of the sun god or the Surya Vamsha Kshatriyas. So like this, so Bhagavad Gita is timeless wisdom. So although it is been existent since so many years, so still it is studied, understood and followed. Then the speciality. So what is the speciality of Bhagavad Gita? So if you see, Bhagavad Gita is a Vedic literature, but and also it is preliminary. We will be coming to that point. But basically, it is a perfect theistic science that if you go through Bhagavad Gita, if you try to study other Vedic literatures, so you may not be able to clearly understand what is what. So you may have to study a lot, and even after studying, you may not be able to clearly tell. So how the soul is accepting different bodies. So how different things are categorized in different modes. So but in Bhagavad Gita, if we see, there are specific sections wherein so elaborately Krishna is telling about different subjects. So indeed, if you see, all the five subjects are very nicely explained. Yes. So Jiva is, very nicely explained. So how the living entity, its condition in this material world. So how, because it is part and parcel of Krishna, because it has forgotten, it is suffering. So in everything is told in gist, in few verses. And what is the nature of bondage in this material world? That is, the three modes of material nature are binding. So this whole science is discussed in the 17th chapter, the divisions of faith. So like this, in Bhagavad Gita, you will find specific subject matters which you want. And you can explore them, the principles. So you may not find, if you study Bhagavatam, of course you will get higher things and you can relate with Bhagavad Gita. But when you read Bhagavad Gita and understand Bhagavatam, you can very easily understand. So you all can open 1.1. Perfect. So if someone is fortunate enough to understand, so in the first paragraph, in between, if someone is fortunate enough to understand the Bhagavad Gita in that line of disciplic succession without motivated interpretation, then he surpasses all such studies of Vedic wisdom and all scriptures of the world. So what to say? First, all scriptures of the world, we can easily understand. And even all studies of Vedic wisdom. So if we first take the different scriptures, in Bible also there is the description of creation and all. There it is told, the Lord desired and there was so creation. So something like that is there. So but in Bhagavad Gita, so how the creation takes place, how it is created and destroyed, everything in detail it's told. And then, so continuing to read the quote, one will find in the Bhagavad Gita all that is contained in other scriptures, but the reader will also find things which are not to be found elsewhere. That is the specific standard of the Gita. So we can imagine, so all the different scriptures are bigger than Bhagavad Gita. But still, one will find many things which are not told elsewhere. So that is the speciality of Bhagavad Gita among even Vedic literatures. And then you all can open 4.40. So only one statement is there. First statement is there. Out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the best. So here it is told. So it is the best. So even in Gita Mahatmya it's said, it's told, Gita su Gita Kartavyam kim anya shastra vistare. So what is the necessity of other scripture? So it is such a nice literature. And then another point is there would be especially in Kali Yuga, there would be so many incarnations, and it is tough to understand. But in 11th chapter, if we go through the universal form, the chapter, so we can clearly understand the pseudo incarnations. So in Vedic literatures also, so basically the science of incarnation is spoken. So this is always spoken in the Puranas, in Srimad Bhagavatam also. Krishna, Shukadev Goswami, he tells about the different incarnations. In first chapter, then again in seventh chapter, in third chapter of first canto, then seventh chapter of second canto. So they are scheduled, when are they going to appear, and what activities will they do, everything is told. But again, the principle of incarnation is told perfectly in 11th chapter. Universal form, he should show universal form. So this is one point. So one can very easily understand what is what. If one can't show universal form, that he can't be God. So like that. So Bhagavad Gita is preliminary book, but by understanding you can understand. By understanding it, you can distinguish who is proper incarnation. 11.481. So this verse basically, it's Krishna is telling, I can't be known, or this form especially can't be seen, by studying Vedic literatures, by undergoing austerities, by performing pious activities, by giving in charity. So I can't be known. And I can't be seen. So especially before this verse, I guess that Krishna gave Divya Vision. In this word also it comes, Drishtum. So only a pure devotee can see a universal form, and that too Arjuna was such a devotee. So because he was devotee, he was shown that form. So we can't otherwise understand. So you all can open the last paragraph. We should follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise there is no possibility of attaining perfect spiritual knowledge. Although Bhagavad Gita is considered the preliminary study of the science of God, still it is so perfect that it enables one to distinguish what is what. So it helps us to distinguish pseudo incarnations from from true incarnations. The followers of a pseudo incarnation may say that they have also seen the transcendental incarnation of God, the universal form, but that is unacceptable, because it is clearly stated here that unless one becomes a devotee of Krishna, one cannot see the universal form of God. So if you see in Bhagavatam also, Kunti Maharani, she says, Tvam akinchana gochara. So So you can be understood by materially impoverished people. So that doesn't mean if one is poor, one can understand. So basically, one who is devotee can understand, can see Krishna. So we can, no? So Srila Prabhupada makes here, although Bhagavad Gita is considered the preliminary study of the science of God. So here, no, we can understand. So if someone comes and tells, I am incarnation, we can refute. So based on this point. And then, speciality. So another speciality is that it is aparishaya. So being given by Krishna, it is non-different from Vedic literatures, and it is as good as Vedas. So this is another speciality. So we can get to know about everything from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So who is beyond the four defects, who is aparishaya. So 3.31 you all can open. So in the very first sentence, the injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. So just like Vedas are eternal, so this is also eternal. So this is the speciality of Bhagavad Gita. 3.31 first sentence. So this quote is again there supporting this point. It is also there in 2.12. So I'm just searching the quote. Two point twelve. This quote is another.
It is not coming from those who have four defects.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
Not able to find it, no?
Found.
With all four defects of
yes.
Relative is unable to teach that which is worth hearing.
He is accepted. If he is accepted as an ordinary conditioned soul in individual consciousness, then his Bhagavad Gita has no value as authoritative scripture. Yeah. A common man with all the four defects of human frailty is unable to teach that which is worth hearing. A Gita is above such literature. This is a speciality. So human being, so he has four defects. But Bhagavad Gita, so because Krishna is spoken, so that is free from all the defects. So this, okay. So if in this context, if you see Krishna is talking about eternality of this soul. And then 4.41, 4.1. So in the last paragraph, because Bhagavad Gita is as good as the Vedas, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this knowledge is super aporeshaya, superhuman. So this is the quote.
4.1
at the last. So, finally, what if one is not faithful to Bhagavad Gita? So, we have discussed its benefits, so its history, its speciality. Then after understanding all these things, we will discuss. Still, if one is not faithful to Bhagavad Gita. In the very next verse, so when Krishna gives the advantages of following his instructions, so if one follows, one would be freed from material bondage. So if you see, Krishna many times he is telling to follow him, but he has told the benefits of following. So it is not that he is just saying you have to follow. Again, he has given the disadvantages of not following him also. So if you see, Krishna is supreme, so he can punish the living entities also. He has the right. So if someone is not obedient to the state, so the state laws can punish him. So similarly, Krishna, but Krishna, he is interested in our own benefit. So we can't remain happy without worshipping Krishna. So he is telling, if you don't follow, then what will happen? Then you will be bereft of all knowledge, befooled and ruined in your endeavors for perfection. So he tells, ye tvetad abhyasuyantu nanushtushtanti me matam sarva jnana vimudam sthan viddhi nashtan achetasah. So 3.32. So viddhi nashtan achetasah. So we would be ruined actually. So so you all can remove the open the purport. The flaw of not being Krishna consciousness is clearly stated herein. So you all got 3.32. As there is punishment for disobedience to the law order of the Supreme Executive Head, so there is certainly punishment for the disobedience to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A disobedient person, however great he may be, is ignorant of his own self and of the Supreme Brahman, Paramatma and the Personality of Godhead due to a vacant heart. So vacant heart means, if you see in the verse, viddhi nashtan achetasah, without Krishna consciousness. So basically in this world, so everyone are like unconscious. So they are not, means they are living, but still real consciousness is Krishna consciousness. So in the purport, achetasah means, shlabrupa translates as without Krishna consciousness. So if we don't follow the instructions of Krishna, then we will not be happy. Therefore, there is no hope of perfection of life for him. So like this, in this verse it is told, the defect of one who will not worship Krishna, one who will not become devotee of Krishna, even after understanding. So again in 4.42, this one. In the first page, somewhere at about 10 lines. In the beginning of this chapter, the transcendental activities of the Lord were discussed by the Supreme Lord Himself. So we know in 4th chapter, Krishna, he gives the science of himself. One who does not understand the instructions of the Gita is faithless and is to be considered to be misusing the fragmental independence awarded to him by the Lord. So there is independence given to everyone. So living entities, so Krishna, he gives independence whether we have to follow or no. So if you see, even in Bhagavad Gita, he told all the benefits of following till the end. And last he told, so it is dependent on you. Yatichasi tatakuru. But if you don't follow, the what you will be the result, that also Krishna tells. In spite of such instructions, one who does not understand the real nature of the Lord as the eternal, blissful, all-knowing personality of Godhead is certainly fool number one. So, in spite of having listening about the science of Krishna, so understanding about how he is the source of everything, if you don't take it seriously, then we will be ruined. And again in 4.40, so it is told, so if we don't understand the Bhagavad Gita, if we don't endeavor to read, and if we have no faith, then what will happen? What is our destination? So, in the first paragraph, so first quote we read for the speciality of Bhagavad Gita. So after that, 4.40. Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures. So, agyas means they don't have faith, knowledge only. And ashraddha dhanascha means they don't have faith. And some, even though they have knowledge of or can cite passages from the revealed scriptures, have actually no faith in these words. So they may have knowledge, but they don't have faith. And even though others may have faith in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Because Bhagavad Gita, faithful to Bhagavad Gita means faithful to Krishna's words. Having faith in his words that he is beyond mistakes. So one who follows his instructions, so he will be freed from all suffering. So one who has faith and will follow, so he will be raised to the platform of knowledge. So one should, men without faith in God and his revealed word find no God good in this world or in the next. In this world means even material happiness they cannot get. So if they don't follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita, for them there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith and thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining, so we should follow with faith. Only this knowledge will help one be promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. So if you see, when we do devotional service, then things are revealed. Atah Shri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahayam indriye sevan muke hi jivadu svayam eva spurattada. So without worshipping Krishna, without doing devotional service, we cannot even understand Bhagavad Gita, the words. There is one more quote in 3.31 purport. There are many philosophers who write commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. So they write comments, but they don't have faith that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. They consider him as a normal person. He may be a great historical person, but they don't understand. So unless and until they are devotees, so they doubt in his words also. So it's told they don't have faith. they will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. So if we follow instructions, we will become free from fruitive actions. But if we don't have faith, we will be bound up. 3.31. So finally, last quote in this section, 11.48. Somewhere is your finding. We should somewhere. It is it starting? We should. We should follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, there is no possibility of attaining perfect spiritual knowledge. So this is the quote. So what will happen if we don't have faith or if we don't follow Bhagavad Gita? So like this we will summarize today's subject. So what is the importance of Bhagavad Gita? So in this we studied the benefits. So in benefits we saw that how we can understand how to lead human form of life. So how to raise to the platform of goodness and be situated in the spiritual world finally. And
understanding the purpose of human life. Our Bhagavad Gita helps us to utilize human form of life in the best possible way. In other words, Prabhupada, this is a quote from introduction, no? Human beings are not meant for fighting like cats and dogs. So how modern society people are fighting like cats and dogs. One country is fighting other country. So therefore, human beings have a better position than animals. Animals will fight like cats and dogs. So Bhagavad Gita helps us to bring ourselves to human form of life. So that also, another point, in other way, if you understand that quote of Bhagavad Gita is meant for human beings. Their proper says, no, Vedas are meant for human beings and all. So, in other words, those who do not study Bhagavad Gita, they are not human beings. They are two-legged animals. Like, if you see, animals are not interested in Bhagavad Gita. We are discussing here, you know, all dogs and cats are not coming and hearing what we are studying here. So, therefore, human beings should study Bhagavad Gita and utilize their human form of life. And in that quote, it is also said, what is piety and what is sin? Now, in modern society, people don't have any idea of what is sin and what is piety. Sorry. In modern society, people don't have any idea of what is piety and what is sin. There, you know, Prabhupada in that quote, he said, you know, if animals kill, so other animals, they don't incur sin. Because by the arrangement of the Lord, they are by law of karma, so they are suffering the reactions to their karma. They are not making karma. But human beings, if they kill, so they will incur sin. So this knowledge we get. So it is a very... If you don't have this knowledge, imagine what will happen. So Prabhupada was asked once,
After the end of your life, if you come to know that there is no Krishna, then what will happen? Prabhupada said, nothing will happen. We'll chant, dance. We are chanting, dancing, you know, taking feast. But then Prabhupada counter questioned, what if you come to know that there is Krishna? So this is the situation, you know. There is Krishna, obviously, right? It is very silly to think that there is no Krishna. So, now we see foolish people, they are maintaining organized slaughterhouses. Indian government also, rascal, demonic government. So, in that Vellore Bhumi Puja day, because many politicians had come, Maharaj gave a lecture, my dear political friends, he said. So, you are all proud of speaking about all Indian culture, but India is the most number one beef exporting country in the world now. You should be aware about that and you should do something regarding that, like that. Maharaj was challenging them. So, they want to show themselves as very religious, very spiritual. Whenever some gathering is there, they come and pose themselves and speak something nonsense, and they are so completely in ignorance. They don't have any awareness that they are, you know, bound by the laws of nature. And they are misleading all these blind people, blind leading the blind, you know. Tepi shutam tra urudhami baddha, how laws of nature will severely bind, you know. We were discussing how, you know, how jivas are stuck in this world, suffering miserably. So this is the result of our sinful activities. Humanity is very dangerous and precarious condition. World is in dangerous condition. So reactions come in the form of war, pestilence, so much hard labor, suffering, struggle, material existence. So Bhagavad Gita helps us to know what we should do, what we should not do. So this is a great benefit. And not only that, in the end helps us to purify our existence and go back to but the proper force, no? So basically it helps us to utilize our human form of life in the best extent. Second benefit?
Pashyanti Jnana Chakshu Shravan develops.
Second one in sequence.
Goodness and go beyond that.
That is the purified existence and
gives a clear conception of God.
That helps us to understand absolute truth.
Yeah. So we get clear conception of God. Who is God? Now there are other scriptures of the world. Because you see now in the world people are saying like that. It cannot be like that. Atheism has become a religion of the people now, like that, you know. They are proud to call themselves as atheists. Like Richard Dawkins, he said, Darwin made it possible to be a fulfilled atheist. Fulfilled atheist, intellectually fulfilled atheist. Of course, it's just foolishness, insane. He is insane because he doesn't know that there is an enormous amount of evidence against Darwinism, and Darwinism is never proved. And it's not a for those people who are in tamas, they think that it is very intellectually fulfilling. But when Prabhupada went, as soon as he came, became aware about it, when they told him about that, Darwin said, he just mashed it up again. It didn't take long time. You know, in 1859, he wrote Origin of Species. And Prabhupada went in 1966. As soon as he came back, came to know about it, he just mashed it up. More than 100 years ago, guys in the Western countries, nobody could refute it. So, anyway, that's a different story. The point is that one of the major reasons why people are becoming atheists is because of this religious dogmas, so-called religions, who don't have any clear understanding of God. So Bhagavad Gita, by studying Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada said, no, in that purport. So by studying Bhagavad Gita, this is 10.2 purport, right?
10.2 it is.
Here I am, God, Prabhupada says. Those who want to know who is Absolute, here I am, Krishna says, I am Absolute Truth. So in this way, there is a very clear understanding of what is Absolute Truth. So therefore, by presenting this, by knowing this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, we become free from, we get clear understanding of God. And those people who are scared of religion and God due to dogmas, religious dogmas, also will be happy. But unfortunately, we are not presenting this to them. That is our problem. Right or not? So people are now in the world, Islam and Christianity is the most prominent religion of the world. Because of not lack of this clear theological basis. Clear theological basis, people are scared of, especially the so-called intellectuals, they are scared of religion and God. They think that it curtails one's religion, you know, intellectual development, they say. That is their main argument. So now just to give an example, how being based on Bhagavad Gita, one can very intellectually present and clearly present God. In 1974, Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, some theologians came to meet him. That video is there if you want, you can see that. So as soon as theologians came and sat, Prabhupada said, so you are theologians, then who is God, he said. Then one of the theologians, he said, we are searching. Then Prabhupada said, you are not theologians, you are theosophists, he said. Theologian means one who knows God, one who knows Brahman. Theosophist means one who is searching Brahman. That means you are not theologians, you are theosophists. Then Prabhupada said, you do not know who is God, and we are presenting God, why not accept it, he said. Why not accept it? Then, and he Prabhupada continue, elaborates, we are not presenting it dogmatically. We are presenting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In all the Vedic scriptures, He is glorified as such. And all the Vedic authorities have accepted. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Lord Chaitanya, and our spiritual master, His Divine Ways, Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya, Ashtotra Shata, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we are presenting, I am presenting. So why not accept it? Then one fellow, he says, because we are following certain pattern of life, now in old age it becomes difficult to change. That means basically we are coming from Christian background, it becomes difficult to change like that. This is Tilson Judaism. Then immediately Prabhupada cut. That means you are not sincere. You are searching for God, when it is present, God is present and you don't want to accept it, that means you are not sincere. You are not sincere seeker. So Prabhupada smashed them, but then they changed the topic at all. So we'll come to that topic a little later. What happens afterwards in that conversation? Because it is connected to some other topic which we discussed today. This is how one can, based on Bhagavad Gita knowledge, one can present God very systematically, clearly. Next. And often we see that in other, if you study other scriptures, you will not come to know about God clearly, because here Krishna is personally speaking. Here I am, see, I am there. How he looks, what is his name, what is his features? Prabhupada used to tell, no, we know the name of God, we know the address of God, we know his father's name, everything. We can tell everything. Like that. Then?
How Bhagavad Gita has perfect theistic sense?
No,
that helps us to understand how the material world is based on
Jnana Chakshu.
We can understand the changing of body is based on desire.
No. Which is the next code after 10 point? That is?
15.10.
Okay, that is about
Jnana Chakshu.
Yomam. What is that?
Jnana Chakshu.
Ukramantam Siddham Va.
Ukramantam Siddham Va. Pipunjanam Va. Vimdanam Pashanti Pashanti. Jnana Chakshu. So, now you see most of the people in this world, they are in a completely ignorance about after life after death. No one knows that there is life after death. Everyone thinks that this is all in all. This is the only life we are living in. This is all in all. In Hindus, they all write advertisement. Someone dies, he went to Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha was he, such and such like that. Someone dies, means. But they also don't know actually. They are writing it like that, but they don't know that there is life after that, what happens after life. They do not know that. So, and some scientists are doing research and life, you know, past life memories. They also do not know clearly about knowledge of soul, how it is existing. Utkramantam sthitam vapi in gunjanam va gunanitam. Utkramantam means how it is changing from one body to another body, how it is situated in the body, what are its qualities, characteristics. And gunjanam va gunanitam, how it is trying to enjoy through these senses, being due to being in polluted consciousness. How it is under the influence of three modes of material nature, how it is bound by three modes of material nature. All this knowledge no one knows in the world. Completely they are ignorant. But when we hear from Bhagavad Gita, we clearly come to know about it. So what a knowledge, no? It life after death. So very clearly come. For example, someone may study about past life memories. But what is the link between this life and the past life? Unless you know the knowledge of soul, right? How it is changing from this body to another body. What is the... Right or not? You may have. Why I was living in past life. How I came to this life? What is the link between the two lives? Missing link. They don't know about it. They may soul, even if the soul is there in the term English language. Coming from maybe Bible or... But still they don't have any clear idea how mechanism of transmigration. Just before that verse, Lord Krishna describes the mechanism of transmigration of the soul. Just like wind carries, fragrance from one place to another place, similarly subtle body carries the soul from one body to another body. So who has this knowledge? So this is the benefit of Bhagavad Gita. It helps us to have clear understanding of soul and its transmigration from one body to another body. Next.
Free from bondage of fruity. Free from bondage of fruity
work. Free from bondage of fruity work. That is 3.31. Karma bandhana. How we become bound by action and reaction. So often many people they wonder, I did so many pious activities, why I have been cursed like this? Why I am suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? There was one famous politician, Ram Jethmalani. Ram Jethmalani, you know that?
Yes,
he was a lawyer by profession, but he became a
politician
from Gujarat. After this Gujarat, many years back there was an earthquake in Gujarat. After that Gujarat earthquake, he became what? He became an atheist. He said there is no God. So much suffering. So they cannot understand why these things happened. So-called innocent children and women are died. Who is innocent in this world? Whether Gandhi is innocent, Nehru is innocent, or Ram Jethmalani himself is innocent. All are criminals because they are in the jail, they are all criminals only. So, how to become free from karma bandhana? It's a big subject matter. Apparently, it becomes, because we read in Bhagavad Gita, it appears very simple. But with so many philosophers, like for instance, Jaimini. So, jatasya hi dhruva mrityo dhruvam janma mrityasya tasmad pariharate Natvam Shochitam Narasi. This is the philosophy of Jaimini. So, those who have taken birth, they have to die, and those who have died, they have to again take birth. Everything happens according to law of karma. He also believes in law of karma, because he is follower of that, Vedic follower. So, but according to him, we have to, by doing pious activities, we have to elevate ourselves to higher planets. Karma is the ultimate. No one can become free from that. Therefore, enjoy life by doing pious activities. That is his philosophy. So, but Bhagavad Gita says, even those pious activities are also cause of bondage in this world. To enjoy that, you have to return to this world, and once kshine punya martya lokam vishnu, then again you will come to this martya loka and perform karmas. So this will go on. That is not a solution, doing pious activities. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita helps us to become free from karma bandhana. And one of the fears of Arjuna is that I'll incur sin by fighting in this. No, by following these instructions, you'll become free from karma bandhana. This is stringent laws of karma. Next benefit.
From birth to old age and
disease. What is the code?
Moon landing.
Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So basically it is the same thing. How to attain liberation at the time of death from this material world. Like Krishna says, no? If you antakale chamameva smaran gupta kalevara ya prayati samadvava. It is basically telling about death. So we cannot solve death. Birth, death, old age is there, but death is the ultimate point, right? We will be tested at the time of death. So we have to remember Krishna at the time of death. So therefore, by hearing Bhagavad Gita, we will remember Krishna, and in this way we will become free, we will overcome death. We will never take birth, or conquer over death, basically. So, then Prabhupada, he starts, human beings have advanced in space science, but they are not spiritually advanced. What is the use if you cannot solve death? Sometimes, every time they do some space vehicle, there will be an intro, news, press conference would be there. And in the press conferences, immediately press reporters, they'll ask. This is standard after every space launching. Then press conference, they say that, they will ask question. So many people are spending so much money, tax givers, what is your answer to the tax givers? Because they are paying so much tax. With the help of that, you are all launching some rockets in the space. Instead of using that money into such activities, why not utilize them for doing something good to the society, some solving the problems of the social problems, like water problem or something like that, So, then they say that, our nation should have a dream. We also want to compete with Russia, America, in space science. We want to compete with them. They say dream. But Prabhupada calls this as childishness. This dream as childishness. Just like in Ramayana, we see, read that Lord Rama wanted a moon. I want moon. He was crying like anything. If you give me room, then only I'll stop crying like that. Then they showed him some, mirror. So then Lord Rama, he was happy, now I got moon like that, Then he just got pacified. So similarly, this is, he's doing the pastime of child, Lord Rama. So this is all childish activities, going to moon, going to Mars, going in a space rocket, something like that. This is nothing better than this dream, this is. So therefore, we have to... So instead of that, human life is meant for conquering our death. So Prabhupada says this is important. Bhagavad Gita, by remembering Bhagavad Gita, by hearing Bhagavad Gita, we will be able to conquer our death. Next.
12.9.
Yeah, so by doing, the goal of sadhana bhakti is to attain love of God. Kriti sadhya, bhava sadhya, bhavasa sadhana vidha, nitya siddhasya bhavasya, prakatyam arati sadhya. One of the angas of sadhana bhakti is to hear Bhagavad Gita. So, in this way, every anga of bhakti is eligible, is potent enough to give us perfection of life. Love of Godhead. That's why we are doing sadhana, no? What is love of Godhead? We are all seeking that, love of God. So, anyway, that verse is not there, you can ask me later. So, then that verse is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he defines sadhana, different stages of bhakti, sadhana, bhava and prema. So the point is that we are all seeking after that love. Unfortunately, being bewildered in the material world, we think that we will get that love in the, you know, by getting married. My wife will give me that love, or my children will give me that love. Everyone has wants some fulfillment in life, right or not? We want fulfillment, happiness in life. But conditioned soul, due to being in perverted consciousness, thinks that this perverted love of this world will give fulfillment in the heart. So let me get married. I will become happy. But actually we will be only happy by loving Krishna. Love of Krishna. That is possible by doing sadhana bhakti. Thivrena bhakti yogi. We have to hear Bhagavad Gita until we attain love of Godhead.
Kama sarva kama.
Yeah. Why you are laughing? So in this way, so we have to hear. That is the point. One reason, it produces love of God, it also convinces that this material world there is no love of. Love, that is Bhagavad Gita. That's what no urdhva moola madha shakam ashvatam. We are thinking that the shadow of love is real love actually. Right? So that is the benefit of Bhagavad Gita. Very important. Ultimate point. Then, next. Benefits. Krishna only. This is sufficient. Okay, so then what else? Any other? Next point is refuting misconceptions. It is actually significance of what is that title? Again? Significance of
what is significance? Bhagavad Gita as a scripture.
Bhagavad Gita is a scripture.
And book.
Why Bhagavad Gita is a scripture? Because there it is told. Many people have misconception that these are talks between two friends. Bhagavad Gita is a talk between two friends. I don't remember now proper. You see, all these things are coming in proper purport. Actually, these were a lot widespread misconceptions in the society. We are not aware about that now. Now television, modern science, modern education has covered all the misconceptions also. So now their misconception is mobile will give me happiness. Bhagavad Gita will not give me. That is the misconception. Now only bogus hedonism. Anyway, it's a talk between two friends, but it is not a talk between two friends. Bhagavad Gita itself doesn't accept this point that it is a talk between two friends. Bhagavad Gita says Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Arjuna is a pure devotee of Krishna. It is a talk between Supreme Personality of Godhead and pure devotee of Krishna. And Arjuna surrendered to Krishna as a disciple, right? Until that, Krishna did not give any instruction. Shishyasteham Shadumam Kaam Bhavanam. Therefore, it is not just some ordinary talk of two ordinary friends. So, Prabhupada there he mentions, Arjuna is asking these questions to the Supreme Spiritual Master, who is the highest authority on knowledge. The highest authority on knowledge, Supreme Spiritual Master. You all know, Krishna is the highest authority on knowledge. Krishna is the highest authority on knowledge, it is described in throughout Bhagavad Gita, like in 6th chapter towards the end, after asking that question, that what will happen to a bhrasht yogi, then Arjuna says to Krishna that apart from you, no one else in this world can answer this question, he said. That shows that he is the supreme authority, that knowledge. So then in the 7.1 Krishna says, Tashunu, hear from me, he says. Why? Because by hearing from me, you will come to know all the knowledge in Jnanam Teham Savijnanam, second verse of the seventh verse, seventh chapter. By knowing this, nothing remains to be unknown. Prabhupada says, when cause of all causes becomes known, everything to be known becomes known, nothing remains unknown, he says in the Prabhupada. So therefore, by hearing from Krishna, we will get all knowledge, no knowledge remains. So therefore, Krishna is the supreme authority on knowledge. Arjuna is asking these questions to supreme spiritual master, supreme authority. Like we know, no? Descending process is perfect knowledge, reliable knowledge, hearing from authority. Then who is the authority? Krishna is the authority, highest authority. And everyone accepts in India, whether personless or impersonless. Like today morning he was asking, why Bhagavad Gita? Why Shankara wrote Bhagavad Gita? Because he accepts that Krishna is the authority on knowledge. He preached his nonsense, but based on Bhagavad Gita. He based it on Bhagavad Gita, misinterpreted Bhagavad Gita. So, because everyone knows Krishna is the authority and his Bhagavad Gita is the authority, therefore these fellows, they took advantage of Mayavadis of that to promote their nonsense. So in this way, it is not a discussion between two friends. And another thing is, like later it was discussed here, Bhagavad Gita is Aparushya because it is also spoken by Krishna, who is the speaker of Vedas, who is the Vedas, Vedic knowledge originated from him. Therefore it is not an ordinary book. So it is a misconception to think that Bhagavad Gita is an ordinary book. So it is a scripture, therefore it is told it is importance as a important book. It is not just ordinary literature, it is a scripture it is. And second point is, sometimes people say that it is a book on, because it increases violence, it increases immorality in the world, in the society, by instigating fight, war and violence. Book of violence. One word, if you want to say. People may think like that. But no. So in Bhagavad Gita, the essence is Manmana Bhav Madhvato Madhyaji Maam Namaskar. Becoming devotee. Devotee is the highest moralist. He does not like to kill an ant also. You all know that. That Mrigari was there, Narad Muni preached to him. He used to take pleasure in killing animals, half killing animals. Like our Damodar takes pleasure in killing Jari. You can kill Jari, no problem. So, you should kill Jari because otherwise it will bite devotees. Right or not? Snakes, Jari, scorpions, you can kill. So, so the point is that devotee does not like to kill even an ant also. He becomes so moral. And these guys who are talking about, he was, Sridhar Governor Prabhu was pointing out. These fellows, they don't follow four regulative principles and they talk about, you should not keep hand like that. Balaram is not our. It's Balaram. So the point is that these people who are gobbling animals, gobbling cows, and they talk about morality. What nonsense morality they are talking, right or not? So, in modern society, they are maintaining organized slaughterhouses, mechanized. mechanized slaughterhouses. So I was mentioning that how governments also, now India is promoting that pink revolution, you know, now making organized slaughterhouses, mechanized slaughterhouses. They want to promote the production of meat. So in India, they are making all the slaughterhouses very mechanized, putting all the machines there. So green revolution, white revolution, then now pink revolution. Sometime blue revolution happened, something like that. So
aquaculture,
fish, right? Oh, that is blue revolution. Now they want to do pink revolution. So it is very alarming. These people, what they talk about? And another point is, in this world, violence is inevitable. The positive use of violence for protecting the weak from the bad elements is a necessary element in this world. So again, coming back to this conversation which I was mentioning. So after talking that we are presenting Krishna as Supreme Person, why not accept it? Immediately one fellow, he changed the topic up. We have heard you saying that war is necessary, like that, because those days in America, because of Vietnam War, there was so much revolt against government. Why America took part in this Vietnam War? So there was so much revolt, so many organizations, they were revolting against the government of America. So, therefore, to say that war is necessary is a very, very, it is, what do you call it is? It is a public PR disaster, we can say. Public relation disaster it is. But Prabhupada made such statements, like, you know, those days saying woman's liberation is prostitution is a public relation disaster it is. But Prabhupada did it. Nowadays we want communication system to public. We want appreciation of the public, therefore we are promoting communications, ISKCON communications. But Prabhupada did not care about all these things. Yesterday I was talking about, you know, ISKCON communications, right? So anyway, the point is that so that one theologian, one scholar, he said, then Prabhupada said, yes, there are bad elements in this world and there are good elements. To protect the good elements from the bad animals, the use of violence and war is necessary, he said, Prabhupada said. So then one scholar immediately quoted Bhagavad Gita verse, you are a saintly person, you are not supposed to make discrimination between good and bad. What is the verse in Bhagavad Gita? Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavayasthini. They also knew Bhagavad Gita, those fellows. Then Prabhupada immediately quoted. It is not I only do good. Krishna also discriminates. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya krishna dharma samsthapanartaya sambhava. I come. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya. Krishna is making this distinction. I am not making. So Prabhupada quoted and refuted. So it is inevitable in this world, because material world is bandhva mohena bharata. It is a world of duality, good and bad. Elements are there, weak and strong. To protect the weak from the bad elements is an inevitable use of positive violence. That's why in Bhagavad Gita again and again this comes. Prabhupada used the example of knife, you know. So knife can be used for killing also, for saving the life also. Then, so therefore, ultimately Bhagavad Gita is a book of morality. So Bhagavad Gita promotes positive violence and war to protect the weak from the bad elements. And ultimately, because it is ultimate principle of morality is to please Krishna, who is the highest moralist, he is the source of, he is the father of dharma. Anyway, that he spoke on elaborately. So following, surrendering to Him, sarva dharmam parityajya mamekam sharanam raja manmana bhavamad bhakto. If one becomes a sincere devotee, a serious devotee of Lord Krishna, who is the father of dharma, then who can be a better, you know, moralist than Him? Okay? So next, this is importance of Bhagavad Gita as a, it's not a, in a negative way it establishes that how Bhagavad Gita is a book of highest morality. Book of highest morality and highest religiosity. This is importance, right, of Bhagavad Gita. Importance of Bhagavad Gita as a book of highest morality. Then next, I mean, important historicity. How it is a timeless wisdom. It is existing in human society in 20 lakh years. Till now we are discussing about it. What is the knowledge behind this, right? It should astound us, right? Okay, next.
Speciality
of Bhagavad Gita among other scriptures. It also contains what is there in the those scriptures and which is not there. It's basically comparing with other scriptures means Bible, Quran, etc. Right? We had discussion about it, that how it has, he was telling Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma, so clearly discussing. No? This knowledge you will not find in other scriptures. Then, and it is also apaurushaya. We should know that it is because spoken by Krishna himself. You know, no, apaurushaya, Vedas are apaurushaya, infallible. What are the examples given about that to establish infallibility of Vedas? So, two examples are given, Kaudanga and Kanchal. Now, you all know, bone of the animal, dung of the animal are impure. We can, if you touch, you have to take bath. But these two are called, are considered as pure. Now, if there is contradiction in the statements, they cannot be true. Right or not? Truth is non-contradictory. It cannot be contradictory. So, but the Vedic authority is so unquestionable that even if there are apparent contradictions in that, it is still, they are infallible. It's their authority cannot be questioned. So that is the point which is made there. So similarly, being, because Vedas are coming from Supreme Lord himself. Asya mahato bhutasya nishvasita. Brahmakshara samudro. Similarly, being Bhagavad Gita being spoken by Krishna is also aparoshaya. Krishna is free from four defects, therefore it is aparoshaya. Anyway, this is, he spoke elaborately on that. Then next point, what is that? There Krishna is terrorizing. If you don't accept, what will happen? Right? If you see the course there. If you don't accept Bhagavad Gita, what will happen? What is the first quote in that? 3.32. What it says? Yes. Begin to read.
Will not attain perfection.
So, nashta chetasa means, you see, nashta chetasa means what? That has a deep meaning. We are chetasa, we are conscious because of the presence of the soul. If we do not follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, we will become nashta chetasa, we will become unconscious. Unconscious means what? Death. That means we become killers of the soul. Spiritually we will be dead completely. Soul will die, that is the meaning of that. Our soul will not die. You understand the import of this statement, right? So that is very serious. It means it will take a long time for jiva, for a time, long period of time, it will go into the lower species of life. That will come. Then? Then?
There is no standing Krishna consciousness.
So they will fall down. Fall down from dharma, basically. So those who do not follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita become Krishna conscious.
They will not become free from body.
You see, because in the fourth chapter there, all the regulations of different dharma sacrifices are mentioned. So they will fall down from that position. If they do not take to Bhagavad Gita. Basically Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
They will not become free from duty and affections.
They will not become free. Which is the code?
3.31.
Okay, same thing. Huh? Then?
Will not attain perfect spiritual knowledge.
Yeah, perfect spiritual knowledge. Then? What is the code for that?
11.
That is about incarnations. No, what is given? Right. Then? That's it. Hare Krishna. So questions tomorrow we'll take up. Note it down. Huh? It's too late now.
It is related to morning class.
Ask. But we can take tomorrow, no? We can give some
time. It's late. It's now.
We can take better. But we have to keep it on.
Why the Vedic literatures are divided into prasthana?
What is the third?
Basically, Vyasadeva divided, that we know because. Yeah, we'll explain that. So, Shruti are original Vedas.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Why Vyasa divided that? Why he divided? Right?
So, yes. So, that's what you want to know. Why Vyasadeva divided? So, yes, that will come to the point. First, Vyasadeva divided so that it cannot be understood for different categories of people, he divided. And by nature, so he gave the words of the one Veda which is there, he divided into four, and he gave the four Upanishads. So, and then many rishis have also given that. By the nature of their source and how they are coming, they are divided. And their sense.
They understood like that. Vedic scholars, they understand it like that by studying the nature of the books. Into three forms. Nyaya means based on logic and reason. Smriti means to be remembered. Shruti means to be heard. Based on the nature, they are divided into three parts.
What is the purpose behind
It's like a, it's an analysis. Right?
What benefit will you get if you follow the prasthana?
Yeah, prasthana tray literal meaning is they are meant for what benefit we get by following Bhagavad Gita. Just now we discussed, no? So same thing. The same benefit we get by following this prasthana tray. So prasthana means progressing towards absolute truth, advancing towards absolute truth. That is a benefit. Right?
Is there any
teacher
doesn't accept these prasthanas?
Doesn't accept means he accepts, but he gave importance to Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave importance to, he wanted to show the world that how Bhagavatam is most important. It is not that he doesn't accept. We cannot reject Veda, no? Right? I mean, those who reject Veda, they are atheists, no? He didn't care for that. He gave the highest evidence from a. Okay? But these are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You quoted that to me? Where they are described.
So, in debates, they'll go through this prasthana. So first they'll discuss Shruti. So they'll compare with the Shruti and then Nyaya like that. Then they'll come to the conclusion.
That is also true. That is
7 also, I think another meaning is basis on which we discussed debate. Looks like that. I read somewhere, I don't know, I think that book is called Sasarma. That is also. Then, next question.
Modern scientists, they are going to Mumbai. So, because the living standard is very high there. But they don't like the conception of Mumbai. Because go there and create some people.
So, of course, they have not gone there also.
So no, he mixed that idea actually when he was saying that he caught that point, you see. He mixed that idea. Vedic people, they want some better life on the moon and all those things. So that's also not good. He refuted basically.
Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.